inner hall of life.
Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising,
the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black polyamorous feminist ho living in New York City.
Me, Rodeca, sometimes Rebecca, a fat black pansexual whose life is a series of coincidences that somehow landed her here.
And Akua, who of course does not know who she is, but she specializes in all things mental health and all things ho.
This is season 4 of the Inner Ho Uprising, and we are mixing it up a bit. Now that Rob is gone every month, we'll be hitting you with two group episodes and two interview episodes. This is a group episode, and we'll be talking about our raunchy ass sex lives and your raunchy ass sex lives. And the future, we'll be talking about that and the current events is raunchy ass sex lives. And then on interview eps, we'll be talking, basically taking our fuck it segment, which is when we interview cool people about cool shit and making it its own episode. So if you're a new listener, we have some segments here for you. They are
Bae of the Week,
which is where we talk about people who we find attractive.
Hoe of the Week,
where we shout out you guys, the homies, the listeners, the fans.
Self-care tip of the week,
where we give you guys some advice on how to take care of yourselves.
Pay a hoe,
which is where we beg for money that we desperately meet.
Fuck that.
Which is where we talk about current events, which we're skipping just for this episode, but it'll be back soon.
Fuck me.
The segment about our sexual, romantic, and dating lives.
And fuck you.
The segment about your sexual, romantic, and dating lives.
So if you guys would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag InnerHoUprising so we can see it, and the hashtag Podin so other people can see it.
And if you want to pay us to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, we would love to. To book us, send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com.
Bae of the week.
Who wants to go first?
My Bae of the Week is Marielle Franco. If you haven't seen, Marielle Franco was an Afro-Brazilian activist and councilwoman representing the Liberal Socialism and Liberty Party in Rio de Janeiro. She passed away recently.
She was killed.
Yes. Murdered. The police are treating it as an assassination. She was elected in 2016 and was the only black female representative and one of only 7 women in the council that holds 51 members.
Wow.
That's like terrible. Crazy. Yeah. But she was a badass. She publicly fought for black women, the poor, and against police brutality in poor black communities. Really, they have what is called favelas in Brazil, which are like ghettos or slums. Mm-hmm. She grew up in one of the poorest and most dangerous. She went on to be educated. She's a socialist. A sociologist. She's a socialist.
Yeah, I was going to say, she's probably a socialist, too.
She's a socialist, but she's a sociologist. Like, how do you come from such humble beginnings and to become one of the most educated? A fucking sociologist. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's very active. She was a mother. She was a queer woman of color. And she was beautiful and just an all-around badass. And so, rest in peace.
Rest in peace. And fuck those niggas who assassinated her.
Apparently, I don't know what a shantytown is, and I need someone else to explain that, but I read it and they were saying that, like, it's actually normal for assassinations to happen in the shantytowns, but it doesn't happen on, like, a huge scale like that in Brazil.
I guess shantytown, I think it's shanty, not shandy, but it's just, like, people...
Very American. Sometimes.
People making... people just, like, making homes out of whatever.
And communities.
Got it.
Yeah, like, the favelas aren't, like, the government didn't order that to be built, like, how, like, Jamaica Queens was built up, you know? Just, like,
got it.
Have stuff.
So, apparently, people. In, like, the slums, it's more normal for assassinations to happen than, like, on the big scale.
What do you mean, like, the police going in and killing people in the favelas? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that does happen a lot. It's
and
pretty
that
crazy.
That was a part of her platform. Like, she ran to oppose that because
police
it was
killings,
happening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fucked up, man.
Yeah.
Bus 174? Watch that movie, man. That shit is fucked up. Who's your Bae of the Week?
My Bae of the Week is... Yeah. Is it Tamar? It's Tamar, right? Mm-hmm. Tamar Braxton.
I just want to note that this episode was recorded two weeks ago from when you were listening. So if this is old news to you, then fuck you.
That badass haircut that she, at this point, recently got.
Yeah.
I just, like, I've always had an obsession with really short hair and just, like, being able to rock it as much as you can.
Yeah.
And I have the roundest face in the history of the world, so I can't, like...
Guinness Book of World Records, actually.
Yeah, honestly, book me, because, like, I could have my own spread on the troubles of having a huge head. Hats don't work. Ask me how. But, yeah, Tamar... I love that haircut, and I just thought, like, she was just killing it, and some dude on Facebook wrote, like, oh, you know... I normally don't look twice at women who have weaves, but she looks like she's rocking. And it's like, why do you always have to put down another person to build up another
why
black
do you have
woman?
To talk?
Right?
breathe.
Right?
Who even cared?
Laid out. But I just want to say she's killing it.
Yeah, she is.
And that was beautiful.
Did you like Sanaa Lathan's haircut too?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I didn't like either.
Damn, opposing opinions. Why so? I don't know. Like, I had very short hair for a while and it looked great.
Akua, you looked amazing, by the way.
But Akua doesn't have a round face.
No, not
at
all.
Shots fired.
I don't know why I didn't like it on Tamar, I guess. Maybe I just don't like Tamar's face.
Damn.
It's my business.
Next. Tamar, you are beautiful. I'm sorry.
Yikes. No,
she is. Damn, that's fucked up.
I can, yeah.
My bays of the week are Rihanna because we don't use Snapchat no more. Yes. I don't even think I have to explain that. Yeah, and I won't because we got to move on. And my second bay of the week is Kenny Jones, who is a transgender male model who is the face of Pink Parcels. It's something about periods campaign. I don't care because it was like, oh, four white women run this campaign when I was watching what it was. But I just thought he was cute. So that's why Kenny Jones is in the campaign. And then also a transgender male just talking about periods, I think, is important. And he was hot.
He was cute.
Yeah, I didn't care about the rest of it. Unless they're giving me free tampons.
Whoever cares about the rest of it? It's what you look like. We're shallow over here on Inner Hope Rising.
Now on to Ho of the Week.
Ho of the Week. Hoomst. Terrence M. and Chris I.
Yes. And what they do?
They paid us some time ago and we just didn't shout them out in the round. So
and
I
you guys
them.
Deserve better.
Yes. Yeah.
So we appreciate it.
Donate
for
to
you.
Someone else. Yo, at this point. Like, we don't even deserve it. We don't even deserve it. Our next segment is self-care tip of the week.
Create an Excel spreadsheet to manage your debt and budget your finances to overall improve your financial habits.
Bitch, you smart.
Let's
niggas
do
don't
it.
Be doing
I
that.
I do none of that.
Well, I am
just
that.
Look back and chase like, damn, I spent money on that. That was stupid.
Popeye's like every other day. That's really where it came from. Like, I am at the last of my savings. I didn't work for most of my time in school. I'm at the last of my savings. I'm not gonna get paid for like the next pay cycle that I started my job at, and it's like a bitch gotta like meal prep and use old vegetables in her freezer because she just cannot afford to buy food right now. Yeah. So it was like, and then with my student loan debt looming over my shoulder, other personal debt, it was like I really have to get like in touch with my personal finances and like create a budget that I can live on and continue saving on.
Mine is you don't have to shave your underarms if you don't have to.
That's a lie.
Where did this come from?
So that's a lie?
That's a lie. I have to shave my underarms.
Ooh.
These yellow pit stains on my white shirt say otherwise.
But it's if you don't
I get that
want
either way,
to.
So.
That's a choice, and that's fine. You don't want to. Oh, gosh.
Damn.
It came from a conversation that I had with my sister, actually. Mm. My sister and I just moved in together recently, so she's learning things about me that I guess she didn't know.
Ooh, bitch, you
I
don't shave?
Get
out my apartment.
I have a cycle where I shave more frequently. I don't shave in the winter.
Every other time.
If
no
one is seeing me and I'm not like...
It's really,
and
I'm shaving from June to August and that's
you know
it.
What I mean? And that's really more for like, I don't want to smell. Like, that's why I do it. Not because of any type of aesthetic reason. But the reasoning why I'm saying this is because me and her had a conversation because I lifted my arm, I guess, at one point and like...
yeah.
It was crazy, you know? But that's fine for me. Yeah. But she said to me, and it really it like annoyed me because she was like, you know, I feel like now that you're like associated with someone, you're more comfortable and I don't want you to get too comfortable where you don't want to. And I'm like, all of this from the fact that like I didn't shave my underarms.
So
and I'm
you
like,
got a boyfriend?
Yeah. You know?
That's dumb.
And she's like, yeah, I don't want, I feel like once you get into a relationship, you're more comfortable. When you're outside of one, you're like taking care of yourself more. And I looked and I actually had to like get grown for a second. I was like, look, whether I'm in a relationship or not, my underarms are not getting shaved when it's fucking
my pussy
cold
is
outside.
So hairy right
I'm
now,
like,
son. I don't
yo,
give a fuck.
I'm like, do you think like my man is like lifting up my fucking arm and going like, every nigga that I fucked at one point, my underarms were hairy as fuck. You didn't notice?
Yes.
It didn't affect the
exactly.
fact that you was coming. It didn't affect the fact that I came. It doesn't matter. Like,
exactly.
You know what I mean? It's my personal aesthetic.
Yeah.
It's just what I want to do.
Yeah.
And like for me, the reason why I shave is based off of the fact that like if it gets too hairy, like, and it's fucking cold, I mean, it's fucking hot, it's going to smell bad. You know what I mean? I don't want to smell like a wolf, but at the same time, it was just like, I hope people are not out there just shaving their underarms because they feel like they have to.
Yeah.
Do whatever the fuck you want to do.
This is a good point.
Keep your arms fucking hairy. Keep your cooch hairy. Keep your legs hairy.
Did I ever tell you the story about one time I was at a party and I never shaved, so I wasn't shaved then. And it was a party, so I was wearing short sleeves because, you know, that's what you do. And I lifted my arms for some reason and this sexist guy. I'm just going to say that. I think he might listen to this, but this sexist guy was like, "Oh, are you a feminist now?" And I was like, actually, I am a feminist. And I didn't realize he was talking about my underarms, but that's what he was talking about.
Immediately, like, oh, you must be a feminist.
Do you burn bras?
Do you know how, like, tedious sometimes it is to, like, shave your whole body?
Duh, bitch. That's why I don't do it. What are you talking about?
Like, that's what I would have been like. I'd just been like, come on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And but, he doesn't know that, right? As a man.
You clearly.
You don't have to shave anything.
Exactly.
Though I did have a boyfriend that shaved his underarms, and I appreciate it.
And hey. If he wants,
like you, and
you know what? Let's flip it, men. If you want to shave your fucking underarms, shave your underarms.
Wow. I feel like that's always been optional for men, though.
No, I think that there's a lot of stigma about men shaving themselves. Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, there was that brief period of time from like 2005 to 2007 where it was like manscaping. You can do that. You're a metrosexual now. But I think now we're back in the territory of that's gay.
Jesus. Fellas, is it gay to blink?
Is it gay to shave your things?
Yeah.
Wow. Wild femme. Crazy. My self-care tip of the week is that it's swimsuit season or whatever, which is what people say, and not going too much into like whether or not you should work out, because if you want to, then just do it, and if you don't, then don't do it. If you want to work out for the summertime, then do it. Like, fuck, it's your choice. Don't feel like you should have to, but if you want to, fine. People are going to do it. So I want to let everyone know that they should be researching into whatever fad diet they're on and whatever workout they're on, because I feel like there's a lot of misconceptions about what is actually healthy for you. Like when Beyonce did the lemon cayenne pepper thing. That doesn't do anything. It's not good for you.
You're literally starving yourself. For you.
Exactly. Which, if that is what you want to do, then know that that's what you're doing. But don't think that like you're cleansing all of your body. You're just like not eating anything. Another misconception is like, oh, I want to get rid of my stomach, so I'm going to do 200 crunches. What is it called? Spot burning, I think.
Spot reducing.
Yeah, that's not a real thing. Please understand that. Like, working on one part of your body is not going to burn fat. And one part of your body, only cardio will do that. And cardio is a full body thing. So keep that in mind, whatever you're about to jump into, whether it be the keto diet or whatever. Now on to Pay a Ho. If you would like to help sustain the Inner Ho Uprising podcast monetarily, you can do so by going to innerhouprising.com. I was about to say, so we can see it. Wow, I'm so tired. Go to innerhouprising.com, click the tab Pay a Ho. You can also go to paypal.me/innerho to do the exact same thing. You can buy merchandise by clicking the tab merchandise on innerhouprising.com. You can use the sponsor codes using not this, but previous and future episodes, because when you support our sponsors, you do support us. You can also now support a hoe on a monthly basis by subscribing to us on Patreon and receive perks while you're doing it. This is an easy way to throw some dollars monthly towards the show, because studios, transportation, and events ain't cheap. And as you can see, every episode is not sponsored. If you are able and you'd be so kind, you can visit our Patreon, which is patreon.com/innerhouprising, and donate $2, which will give you access to private IHU gatherings, like if you miss Rob's going away party, for example. You will also receive our undying love and affection. And for the low price of $5 a month, you can get all that, as well as access to some exclusive behind the scenes video. I did that because I'm looking at the camera right now, but you can't see it unless you're on Patreon right now. You can get all that. Yeah, whatever. Fuck it. You get all that content. Isn't that crazy? You can donate less or more than that. So anything from dollar a month to a zillion dollars a month, anything is appreciated. This is just a more consistent way to pay a hoe, pretty much spending what you would at your bodega stop.
Yes.
But what about if you don't live in New York City and you don't know what a bodega is? Whatever you spend $5 on related to that. To help your, but it's only once a month, and to help your favorite hoes. Now we're going to take a quick break to read a message from our friends and us. Do you live in and around New York City and have the desire to hang out with some of the dopest podcasters in the galaxy? Well, boy, have we got an event for you. On April 21st, 2018, from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. in Manhattan, New York, Inner Ho Uprising will be partnering with our good friends Tea with Queen and Jay and some of our other good podcast friends to bring you Pod in Live NYC, a free party where you can kick it with some of your favorite people of color podcasters. We'll drink, we'll laugh, I might even twerk on your face, or challenge you to a Millie Rock battle. Who knows? We'll see. The only thing you need to do is RSVP on Eventbrite following the link in the description of this episode. Remember, this event is free 99, so we will definitely see you there, right? Right? Yeah, see you there. Hashtag pod, so corny. Hashtag pod and live NYC. Now we're going to get back into the show with our first segment, Fuck Me.
So basically, guys, I've been trying to get back on my weight loss flow again because basically it was the holidays and then I had another excuse and then I had another excuse and then and now it's March. So March after my birthday was when I was like,
literally, I'm still making excuses.
Yeah. So my highest weight, and I at this point, I don't even give a fuck. I just say whatever my highest weight. But my highest weight in all of history was 289 pounds. Mm-hmm. I am now 259 pounds. Mm-hmm. So that's 30 pounds, which is good, which is good. But I'm trying to keep myself with short-term goals. So I feel like 259 was a good goal because like last month I was 271 and I keep fluctuating between those 10 pounds. So I'm trying to make sure I do mini goals and I want you guys to keep motivating me because if you don't, I will go back into the slump that I was doing before. So that's good news. Yay, me. School sucks. School's dragging, but it'll be over soon. It's like every time I look up, there's more school. And it's like, all right, when are you going to end?
You know? Don't want to laugh. You have like a semester left or something like that?
After this one, that's it. One semester. Finally.
Almost there.
I'm 25 years old, guys, and I'm going to finally get my bachelor's.
Some people get degrees at 90.
I will be the first person in my whole family to do it.
Yes.
So therefore, that's what motivates me because I'm like, it feels like a long time, but like I'm the youngest, so I feel okay about that. Yeah. Still depressed, more like I still have depression, I guess. I'm not always depressed, but I'm still battling with depression, but I'm trying to manage, as in like it's not every day where I'm just like I'm always gonna be depressed, you know what I mean? I feel like sometimes I'm able to pull myself up without going to rock bottom, which sometimes happens to me where I feel like I have to either smoke or drink or something to feel like I'm like alive, I guess. And I'm learning to wake up on the bright side, I guess, whatever side that is, the less dark side. So that's good. It's not easy. Nah, I'm not even gonna joke like it isn't easy. Like it is easy. And I think that kind of leads into, am I a self-sabotager? So, like, I'm in a relationship now. Don't know if it's an open relationship anymore. I'm not sure because I've tried to have that conversation and he's kind of like avoiding it. Mm. So a lot of things are kind of up in the air. I was like, yo, do we have a day that we would celebrate as our anniversary? And he's just like, I'm waiting to officially ask you. And I'm like, that's kind of weird because it's been a couple of months now. So I don't really need you to officially ask me.
Totally cool.
I don't know.
You got a promise ring?
Like, I don't know.
Like, I need answers.
You know what I mean? I want to know. You tell me. So when I say like, yo, are we still in an open relationship? He's kind of just like, I don't know. And I kind of want to be. So that's kind of weird because I hope that he's saying
this is, I don't know, pause or negs.
It's so neutral that it's scary.
I don't know.
It's just like, I don't know. And yeah. I'm like, I need you to know because like, I don't know if I want to be in something extremely exclusive, but I'm also not doing anything.
That's extremely exclusive.
Like, we're together. You know what I mean? Like, and it's just us and there's no like, hey, that person's cute. Or I've always been that type of person where I'm just like, oh, that person's cute.
Like monogamish.
Yeah, like super. You know what I mean? I guess that's the best way to. Aren't we going to do an episode where we really like delve deep into like.
We're going to have a whole series.
Got it.
Just you wait for that.
Great. Because I'm. Yeah. But for me, it's just like being super like, I'm obsessed with you and only you and never looking at anyone else. And that's just like not realistic for me. So that's another thing. But also like, I think I'm just like a self-sabotaging person because everything is going good and I feel like a lot of episodes I've been talking about, I wonder if this guy wants me and this and forth, and now like everything's clear and now like I'm having dreams about I'm having dreams about the way I phrased it to Sam was like, I'm having dreams about a 19-year-old.
You could have rephrased it.
I could have, but it needed to be the shocking value of that. So I am a boss of people, and I don't know how I ended up in that position because it feels weird.
Hey, don't let imposter syndrome get you down.
Yeah, I know, right? It's more like everyone is the same age as me or older that I'm in charge of.
Yeah.
So I feel very much like, I guess in your brain or like on TV, or that's most of the time how I relate like real life experiences, or all my past bosses have always been significantly older than me, where there was really no playing field for us to be super chummy or like to relate on like a real level. So for me it was always like there is this automatic distance where it's like you're significant, we're different, you know what I mean? So to be in a position where I'm like a manager but everyone is around my same age, we're all, it's like being in a group of like people and they're like, oh wait, you're my boss. It's just weird. So like we all like chat and we joke around and it's all the time, and my boss is super like chill too, so like the boundaries are really blurred there because it's also a gym. It's not like it's like a super corporate environment. There's a lot of just hormones. Fucking. Yeah, like exactly.
That's what they say happens.
That's exactly
at gyms.
What I was gonna say. Yeah. Everyone, there's a lot of hormones, you know what I mean? So there's one person in particular there who was 19. And him and I like talk all the time because we work every single shift together. Not on purpose, because I make the schedule, so don't think that I do it on purpose, but it just so happens that his availability is the same days that are my availability because we're both in school. So I literally always talk to this kid. And he's a kid. I always call him a kid so I can distance that. But then like I feel
my younger brother is older than him.
Okay. Yes. We can keep.
Sorry.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. But like during the day, for sure. He just turned 19. He just turned 19 like 2 weeks ago. And like, I feel like in the daytime, like I'm not really thinking about him like that. Like we're chatting, we're joking, blah, blah, blah. But when I go to sleep, my brain is just like, I'm just going to keep throwing him in your brain and keep thinking about it. And I'm just like, why? I'm more upset at myself for these thoughts, but it's upsetting because I feel like this is a pattern where like, as soon as I'm in something and I feel like I'm getting what I wanted or what I've been fighting for, I just want to run. And I think my immediately like thing to run is to run into the arms of another person for that romance aspect. And
oh, you
want to
feel
new.
The high again.
Yeah, because once you get into like the real nitty gritty of a relationship, like shit's not always fun. Like it's not fun a lot of the time because you're still trying to figure out like how to fit in this pod with another person, and like, oh, you have to confront certain things about yourself and they have to confront certain things about themselves. And I think like once we get to that point, it's like, oh, this isn't funny and fun anymore, or like this is getting serious, or I'm sad, or you know what I mean? Like my first, like every part of my instinct is saying like run into something that's easy. And something as easy as when you don't really know somebody and everything that you do is funny to them and everything that they do is funny to you. And not to say that like my relationship isn't fun the majority of the time, because it is, but like when things get real, you know what I mean? And it's that point, because it's been like 2 years of us fucking with each other, you know, or just like literally fucking each other. So like it's been that long, so it's no longer new, even though I'm learning new things about him. So like I don't know, to be honest, like deep down, if I want to be in an open relationship because it gives me an escape, or because of the fact that like I know I genuinely want to be able to talk about certain things, but that doesn't have to be an open relationship thing. It could just be something where we're just like cool and we can be like, oh, that person's cute together and blah, blah, blah. Cause some relationships aren't like that. So yeah, I'm a self-sabotager. I know I am. I don't even need to ask that question.
Okay, I was gonna say, maybe you're nuts. Maybe that new relationship energy, that's what they call it.
Yeah,
maybe that's just something that's a need that you need to have met, which might mean you're a polyamorous person.
Yeah,
or it might mean you're a serial monogamist.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that those things are differentiations.
These are labels.
Those are three different things you just fucking said, and like I don't know which one of those things I am, and I don't.
Or you could be none.
I could be none, and then I'm just like,
you could
crazy.
Be a self-sabotager. Yeah. I don't know. I was just trying to give you some options.
It's hard to navigate the space because you don't want to lose somebody that you've built so much time with over not really knowing what the fuck you want to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that he's willing, because I even brought this stuff up and I'm like, yo, I'm like kind of the worst. And my ex told me that I'm the worst, because like I'll love the fuck out of somebody and then one day I'll wake up and just be like, nah, I don't want to do this anymore.
Which is valid, though. Like, not everybody is I'm going to be in a monogamous relationship for the rest of my life type person.
It's rough. So there's that.
That's not what I said. I was just saying,
like,
you
yes,
might
Sam,
not.
Be I do agree with you. It's rough.
The shit sucks, huh? Like, maybe
and
not.
And I think that's something that I definitely want to explore within myself and figure out. And hopefully, like, I don't fuck it up and just be like, all right, I'm going to fuck this 19-year-old and, like, fuck everything up with the person that I just built something
wow.
with. I'm not going to fuck him, I don't think, anyway. So if I do, I'll make sure I talk to him about it first.
This is your midlife crisis.
Yeah, this is my quarter life crisis. But I had mine already. I had it at 24.
This is your I'm having this every year life crisis.
Yeah, I was about to say. Cause
this is your crisis. You are in crisis. This is a critical situation for Rebecca.
Speaking
right
of quarter life crisis that I had at 24, the last thing is I'm getting frozen because that happened during my...
Oh, yeah.
What?
Your existential crisis.
Did you know that? I officially signed off on the paperwork that when I pass away, my brain will be put
oh,
into
oh, that's what
a,
you mean by getting frozen?
Yes.
I was like, what?
No, okay. I really will. Because I had a choice between, like, whole body and, like, brain. But apparently, it's like, oh, this is so weird that I just went from fucking a 19-year-old to talking about my brain being what? Put in a vat. But yeah, so basically, you had a choice between, like, your whole body and, like, your brain, and apparently it's easier if anything like a nuclear blast comes off or something like that, it's easier to carry someone's like just brain than their whole body. So
this makes sense.
I'm trying to be as practical as fucking possible.
So you're doing the brain.
I'm just doing the brain. Neural cryopreservation. If you guys are interested, you can definitely ask me a million questions because I've done so much research. But
that's
I just signed
Patreon ancillary content.
That is. So if you want to know the real nitty gritty, you can hit me up. I won't even tell you which organization I'm doing it with, but I completely signed off on the paperwork. Sam is helping me. She's going to be one of my witnesses because you need two witnesses outside of your family because apparently niggas will actually legally fight that shit. Mm-hmm. So you need two witnesses to be like, yeah, this is actually what she wanted. She's not crazy. So that's happening. I'm going to have like a bracelet on me at all times. So if I get hit by a car, the ambulance would be like, yo, she's one of these people, and then they'll put me on ice.
4087, and you have just discovered the technology to wake you up.
Yeah, I'm
what's
wake
up,
up
with that?
I don't know.
What if it sucks here?
I mean, it like... sucks now. So, like, could it be that different?
I don't know.
The thing is, like, I'm
old. Do you have a chance to go? Like, what if you wake up and they're like, Donald Trump has been the president for 5,000 years? Can you go back on ice and, like, wait it out?
I can wait it out
years?
As long as I have the money and, like, because money rules everything. So it's like, mine is my life insurance policy. So I'm paying, like, a life insurance policy, so the death benefit that would normally go to my family, which is kind of funny, the death benefit that would normally go to my family is gonna go to the organization to cryopreserve me. I don't have a family yet, so I don't have to feel guilty about it. And I probably, depending on how I feel, I'd probably do the same thing for my kids if they want to, because
that's
cheaper
cool.
to add your kids onto it.
Oh.
The first person is the most expensive, and then like the second adult and the children are way cheaper because they're like, all right, at this point you're committed, so we'll add your family in there too. So
that's, cool.
that's what it is, and I officially did it, and it's done because they accept American Express, so I did it.
I'll be ready to sign your paperwork.
Yes, that's real friends. Real friends will sign off for you getting frozen.
Yeah, but I'm gonna sign D's nuts though. So am I really a good friend?
Is it even valid?
They're gonna try to wake you up and be like, this wasn't a real signature at all.
Did this person
you
like
have no record of a D's nuts?
But they ran for president.
I'm gonna say we have an official record on a D's nuts. And they were like, wait, is this the presidential candidate D's nuts?
Well, yes, it is.
We better unfreeze her first. She's got presidential backing. There you go. Thank you.
That's funny.
That's me, guys.
Cool.
In a nutshell.
All right, so this is Meetup March. So I gave myself a goal. First of all, okay, you guys know I hate people, right?
Yes, everyone
knows that. And then I started feeling, like, weird about that because, like, I've worked for the first time in, like, 2 years. And, you know, there's people at your job. Do you guys know that you have to work with people?
I just found that out this year. It's
I was
very
like,
weird.
I
found that out a couple days ago. There's other niggas
like,
here.
That's wild. I just feel, like, socially exhausted. Like, when I wasn't working, I'd be like, yeah, we can meet up because it was just, like, me in my house interacting with, like, four people, maybe. And I just had so much social energy to do things with people. But then when I started working, it's not even like there's chit chat all the time or whatever. I work in a very quiet office, but it's just like energy and people and then riding the subway and stuff like that. Like, ugh, I don't want to interact. I just don't want to interact. So I felt like that for like months. And then I guess spring is on the horizon, yeah. And it got warm for like one day, and I was just like, let me interact with humanity. I was like, I guess I can do that now. So I re-downloaded OkCupid for the third time in my life.
So I'm not the only one who keeps deleting this
that's
shit.
That's what literally everybody does. Yeah. Everybody's like, no, I don't really use this app like that. I don't know why. I don't know what it is about OkCupid that's like yeah. that. Whatever. But I decided it's meetup March. So I was like, this is the stupid goal I set for myself. I was like, I'm going to go on 3 dates a week.
Oh shit.
Ask me how many dates I've been on.
Yes.
Just one. Just one.
That's a step in the right direction. You left your house
from hating people to going on one date.
You left your house in the cold.
Thank you. I did leave my house in the cold.
Yo.
It took me mad long to get there.
No one ever completes their goals. Those are weird people. You make a goal and you get like 25% there.
But to be so low on your goal, one from 3 weeks. Yeah, whatever. So fine. I mean, granted, the other one was supposed to be today, but we had to record today thanks to Akua. Because it's supposed to be next week, bitch. You fucked up my date. She doesn't care.
I don't give a damn.
Akua looks like no,
we got things
you
to do.
Address me. The fuck? I'm correct.
And I really wanted to go there. Not with that particular guy, but I wanted to go there.
Look at the calendar.
Will
it was
you
in
take
there.
Me?
Yeah, where are we going?
Okay. I'm not gonna say it on air. All it's right. A cool place in Queens.
Bitch, I'm let's go.
Yeah.
There you go. Now you got a date.
Thank you. And then I don't know. I never planned a third one. I mean, one was like, oh, you wanna meet me after work, and then a snowstorm happened. I just be tired after work, so whatever, fine. So that's meetup March. What else?
How'd the date go? All right.
It was cool.
Cool.
I didn't really like the location. He was cool.
I've never been on a date before.
What?
So like, yeah, I know.
You should partake in meetup March if you're in an open relationship.
Let's find out. Yeah. I've only been on like outings with people that I have already either been with, like we established that we're together.
Oh yeah.
Or like, no, that. Like yeah. I've never had some, is it?
It is.
You date your boyfriend.
But
you
I mean, like,
but it feels different. Like,
it feels like the fact that she's like, when oh, you're I didn't meeting like the location, yeah. and that you can leave and be like, well, that was a shitty date. Like, I would tell my boyfriend, like, we're not going there. We're going somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it is different.
I've never been on a circumstance where someone, like, picked yeah. me up from a house. I had no idea where I was going. And then, like, if it
don't
sucks.
Don't let these niggas pick you up from your house.
Don't yeah. let them not tell okay. you where you going.
I never changed my mind on that.
Oh, wow. Do they meet you up the block?
No, just meet at the location.
Got it.
Yeah, I don't even want people knowing what neighborhood I live in.
Smart.
Anymore. Yeah. Because I'm famous now. Because I'm scared. But yeah.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, so that's meetup March. What else? I tried to set up a fuck buddy situation. Just because.
Why not?
The person likes me. Yeah. And that's all I'll say.
I'm going back to my original advice, which is always make sure you hate the person that you end up being the fuck buddy with. You have to hate at least two things about them. Well, they'll never be
but they
like
have
dating.
To hate two things about you.
Oh, yeah. And they don't. You hate
I'm amazing.
Them. Yeah.
So
I don't see how they could hate you.
At all.
Yeah. But there's that. It was someone who I was talking to from like, let's say October to January. And I really didn't like him. I don't like anybody. I don't know. Sometimes I just feel like, am I just a picky ass person or... are all men trash? But then I talk to women too, just like not talking, but just like I don't like you as a person either. So I'm like, why don't I like anybody, Akua?
I was so intrigued just a minute ago. I was like, women too.
I tried to do that on OkCupid, but it wasn't working out because they didn't like me.
Wow.
I mean, nobody was responding to anything. It's just like in the wild. First of all, I'm not speaking to people in the wild, and then if I did, I wouldn't be like, oh hey,
yeah,
let's go on a date or something like that. But Akua, why do I hate people?
I don't know. You've been like this since the third grade.
I don't know what it is.
It's just like, only likes family and friends.
Someone could just select. Be like, it could just be like one thing. And it's just like, oh, this nigga's dumb as fuck. Like, why is everything a fucking typo? And that it's not like a pet peeve or whatever, but it's just like, I really don't like you as a person. Like, I cannot continue with you.
Well, that also says a lot about the person. If you have continuous typos, you're lazy. You don't.
You're lazy. You're trash.
You're lazy.
You're a piece of
you
shit.
Don't. You don't like. There's a quality you're missing in that you're not reviewing what you don't care what yeah. you put out. You don't, you know, there's a carelessness that's unattractive. So that might yeah. be what you're picking up on
your
and is manifesting in this typo thing. Because we all make typos, but it's is like every sentence.
Yeah, it was every sentence.
You don't like send the correction with the little asterisk like the rest of us do.
You just don't care.
You don't care.
Because there's a red line under everything that you don't type right.
That is so true. So you're not even trying. And if it's voice to text, what language are you speaking? So that is not English. Which is fine, but I don't speak any other languages. You gotta meet me somewhere.
It may just be manifesting in these small kind of minute ways as typos, but you're picking up on other qualities that you're just not liking.
Thank you.
There you go.
Bigger picture.
I mean, you were in a whole relationship for 8 years.
Yeah, and I liked him a lot.
Exactly.
I mean, that's another thing, like, just comparing every single person, like, oh, this could be so much better. Mm-hmm. This could just be fun. Like, you could actually say a joke that I would laugh at. And if you send me a fucking whack ass meme, it's just like,
how do you win?
What the
you
fuck? Win? Why are you sending this to me? I saw this 3 years ago. And that's bad because, like, then I'm like, is everyone out there just terrible?
Yes. Yes. That's what you wanted to know.
Are they? Because like I thought it was me.
Everyone, there's such a slim margin of, like, actual bomb ass people that like that's what I'm saying, like,
what's up with that?
Humanity is garbage.
That doesn't make any sense.
Dating is trash.
But then sometimes people just do it right, and then like for example, Tea with Queen and Jay, Janicia just posted, like, I think she was on Facebook and she was like, this nigga was, he said something dumb to her, so she ordered like 7 tacos, which is a really good idea, but just like, how do I ever even get to that? Because the moment I'm just like, fuck these niggas. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't even get to the date because I'm just like, oh, delete, block, you're stupid.
I do a lot
I'm
going
to ghost you.
Huh? Like, if I'm hungry, like, I'll go on a date with a nigga because, like.
That is selfish, but my more so selfishness is like, I don't even want to be in your presence. I can't even get the free food.
That's self-preservation right there. That's just like, I'm not even going to waste my time. You can waste
and
my
I do
time
waste
as long
my
as
time
you
doing
me.
A bunch of shit. Like, I'll be on Netflix all day every. I'll scroll through Facebook for an hour.
But that's
just saving
for
links.
You.
That's comfortable for you. Everybody
so
has
am I
links.
Okay.
You're good,
yes,
man.
You are fine as a person.
You're self-preserving. You don't want to waste your own fucking time. That's it. I'll waste my time for food. Because it's not a waste of time at the end of the
Thanks.
Day. That's it. We all have limits.
I wish I could be more like you.
I really like free stuff. Facts. No, for real.
If they could just send it to me, which, okay, this
you
is fucked
like
up.
Them
this
more.
Is fucked up. But the person who I was talking to for a long time was supposed to send me something. I was just like, all right.
I'm
and he
now.
Never even sent it to me.
That's shitty.
It was a waste of my time. Anyway, so somebody threw an open bottle of water at me. Remember that? Yeah.
The rage.
Yeah, we were all at a party. It was Rodeca's surprise birthday party, and we were having fun times, man. And there was a guy there who thought that he knew everything. So when he said things that weren't true, I would just be like, you're wrong, because that's annoying. And he also just kept saying, like, so we were playing various party games, and he kept saying, like, the women are cheating. And I was just like, fuck that. Like, who are you as a person? You're revealing who you are in, like, that nice guy kind of way. Like, oh, I'm just joking. But no, you're specifically saying the women are cheating for a reason.
And he's, like, sitting in the background just, like, saying shit. Mind
and
you,
not
I
playing.
Don't know him.
And not playing. Oh, yes, also that.
I'm meeting him for the first time that night. And, you know, not to be that dick, but, like, your birthday is that time where you just kind of feel like, I just want good vibes around me.
Yeah,
I want people who I know to celebrate with.
Totally.
You are an outsider.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Sure, you were brought with someone, but you are an observer more than you are a participator.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can go ahead and continue.
So we're playing King's Cup, and I pulled the God card, whatever that means, because I never have played with those rules before, but apparently that meant that I could do whatever I wanted. And then at some point, he played the rule card, which means that he could set a rule for the game. And his rule was, whenever you say my name, you gotta take a shot. And I was just like, my nigga, nobody knows your fucking name.
Because we didn't.
Nobody knew his name.
I thought his name was Curtis.
No,
what is his name? I don't know.
We still don't know his name.
The weird thing is, we've all created a mutual consensus of the fact that his name is Curtis, but it's not Curtis. So I think we're all content to agree that his name is Curtis. So we're like, yeah, Curtis, but it's 100% not Curtis.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Anyway, so nobody knows your fucking name, bro. I guess that's what got him tight. Mm-hmm. I don't know what got him tight. He was just tight. He hated women. That was what it was. He grabbed. It's so funny because I actually, there was a bottle of water on the table, and I passed him his bottle of water at some point because he was thirsty. He was like, I'm thirsty. And I fucking put my labor out there to grab the water and give it to this nigga that I didn't even like. Being nice. But also like roasting him, fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
But I never physically assaulted him.
Nope. Nope. Not even close.
Which is what you're supposed to do as a person, not physically assault other people. But yeah, I'm just like, nobody knows your name, nigga. And then he like opens his bottle of water and throws it at me. And everybody was just like, what the fuck? Like, why did you do that, nigga? Why did you think that that was okay?
Deep silence of just like,
did that happen? Why did that happen? Why did he think that that was okay for that to happen? So I'm like, I could spaz the fuck out or just carry the fuck on. I felt like it was your party and it's not my apartment. And he was a big ass nigga, so whatever. So I just grabbed an acumen and I said, I'm going to ignore you or something like that, and just carried on. But then you were...
So I looked at Sam's face and I kind of saw that whole decision-making process of just like, okay, this is not my thing. Do I go off? Da, 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 da. And I saw you kind of just swallow it. And I was like, nah, like, nah.
Yeah.
If it's not your move to make, it's my move to make. So like... We were all sitting around and like it was still going. So everybody was going in order. I was like, oh, I'll wait my turn. Sure. So like I think two people went and picked up cards and then it was my turn and everyone was like, what are you going to pick? And I was like, what I'm going to pick is why the fuck nobody's going to fucking address the fact that this motherfucker just threw some water in her face. And like my brother was kind of looked around. He was like, wait, what? And at that point, he genuinely didn't know that that had all happened. I don't know if he was drunk or whatever. He was just sitting there like completely oblivious. Yeah. So I was like, okay, no, I need everybody to know. And anybody who knows me, I don't get angry very often. I don't have that much emotional energy to expend.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen. If I get upset, it's mostly I'm gonna cry and then I'll probably just be like, all right, well, that was kind of wasteful.
Yeah.
But that was one of the few times I don't fuck with people messing with my family, my friends, or my food. So it's those three things. So one of my friends were being fucking assaulted, basically, pretty much, and it was just like it wasn't gonna fly. And mm-hmm. Everybody was looking at me and they were like, don't say anything. I'm like, the fuck am I not saying anything
were
for?
Were people looking at you like, don't say anything?
So they didn't say don't say anything, but they were trying to calm me down because I was fuming. Like, mm-hmm. I felt like the anger building up in my body, like, to a certain extent where, mm-hmm. like, I'm not gonna fight him, but, like, I was gonna say my boyfriend's name, but Bryce was looking across from me and he was like, yo, let me know, like, with the eyes. And I was like, I don't need you to fight this one. I'm going to do it. Yeah. And it was just like, no, he needs to go. Because yeah. I wasn't going to feel comfortable. And I felt kind of like I was jumping into, like, save you. Captain Save-A-Ho was what I was going to say, which is funny
that
because
is the case.
That's why I said that. but it felt right in the moment. And, like, don't fuck with people's friends. That's, like, my main thing. Like, don't mm-hmm. come to a party. If you're mad about something, if you have, like, some type of masculinity complex, don't bring that shit to a party.
Yeah.
And that's, you were feeling, like, mad inferior, and that had nothing to do with anything. Yeah. No one, it was a good vibe. Everybody was laughing. Everybody was talking shit. Everybody was, the whole night. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, there was nothing that was done that required you to throw something at anyone.
No. Like, never. Unless
Period.
Someone physically assaults you
yeah.
first.
You know what I mean?
Why?
Like,
yeah.
Even if my fam, like, and that's the first thing that I said, and I sat down and I was like, if it was anybody at this fucking table, I would want all of you, if somebody threw something at my face, I would want every one of you guys to be cursing that nigga out.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why the fuck we're gonna act like that didn't just happen. So that's why I was like, nah.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
Yeah.
So guys, don't fuck with my friends, because yeah. I will fuck you up.
Yeah.
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 I just also want to make a note that he would not have done that if I came with, like, a guy.
Yeah. Right?
Like, it was because and I, like, was your friend in there with Akua and Saba. Otherwise, the fuck? Because he would have got fucked up.
Yeah.
One. Two, he wouldn't have done that to a guy because
yeah.
he would have got fucked up. He could have gotten fucked up by
easily.
Me. He could have gotten fucked up by anybody, but he just, like, had a woman complex.
Yeah.
It was very strange.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
So, I don't even know who the fuck it was. I don't even think it was. There was a couple people there that
night.
Had a
dumb face.
But
I heard that the whole
yeah.
time.
And then I heard somebody on the side was like, yeah, he probably likes her. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like,
is this kindergarten?
What are
you
going to
pull my hair?
Fucking people.
Yeah.
Like, don't. If you. Forget it. Y'all.
He probably likes her.
Now I'm getting
upset. I don't like you.
Now I'm getting
That's
mad.
That's how I flirt. I throw bottles of water at women.
Yeah.
It works every time.
And then he had another. He had like three people in the process of just
yeah,
like.
Yeah, he did hit everyone
water.
Else with the water. Yeah. Real stupid.
Never again. But like, I love you guys and come back to my house. Aww. Because like niggas like that will never be at my house again.
Yay.
Akua, I'm ready.
All right, this might unpack some things. Okay, there is one thing I found in my notes that I had wrote for Fuck Me before, so I'll start there and then just work up until my life now. So unlike public, very transparent Rodeca, I've been battling my depression and my anxiety in secret.
We all have depression on this show.
This is the crazy depression.
Yeah, that could really be a spinoff, honestly. Ashnik had depression too.
We are sad ass people. And I don't speak much about it just because I have this whole complex about being a therapist and helping other people with their mental illness and feeling incompetent because I struggle with my own mental health. So that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah.
But what I ran into an issue with is that depression manifests and like a symptom is like lack of self-care, like a deficiency in your ADLs, your daily living. So what I found was I wasn't showering every day. Mm-hmm. I was not showering a day. I was not shaving. I was not waxing. I wasn't showering for like 3 days in a row. Mm-hmm. And with me, ever since I hit puberty, I have to remove my pubic hair. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it's because I have thick thighs, and my pubic hair grows as long as the hair on my head, and I have a very moist vagina and vulva. Things get trapped in there. It gets warm. Great place for bacteria. Mm. So ever since puberty, I've like been shaving, and then I found waxing, which was a godsend, because have you gone down there with a razor?
Rough stuff.
No, really.
And it used to get so bad. It was like this itch. It was like a fungal thing, really. Mm. That I would like, when I did shower, scrub my vulva raw, like pink, like you can see the tissue. Mm. Like my skin is peeling away. And that was really what was happening now that I was no longer showering or, you know, taking care of my hygiene, things like that. Mm. So my depression caused that, and then my anxiety got so bad around it that I couldn't seek a doctor's help because just making the appointment was like, mm-hmm. So it was the two just going back and forth, just like not taking care of myself and being too afraid to find help for it. Mm-hmm. Eventually, I did get a wax, and things have cleared up, and I make it a rule to shower at least every 2 days.
Yeah.
Now that I have a job now, I shower every day, which makes that a godsend. You never know how helpful getting a job is just for the routine of like taking Seriously. Care of yourself yeah. and presenting yeah. yourself to the world. Mm-hmm. So let's start there. I don't know when that was, but now I'm a single hoe. I am no longer in a relationship. I ended up breaking things off just because it wasn't going anywhere. It was a waste of my time. It was a waste of his time. It also just like fueled my anxiety. Like I just felt so guilty and just like it was to the point like every time I was with him, I was just anxious. I was having like small anxiety attacks, mm. like just next to him and he wouldn't notice. Mm. And it was just like, you can't be in a relationship like that and live. Like mm. it just was not working. So we broke up. That was the end of January. What else?
You kept it from us.
I've kept a lot of things from a lot of people lately. I've just been dealing with things.
Yeah.
So I kept it for everybody for like about a month. It wasn't until like the beginning of March I started telling people. Mm-hmm. And now everybody knows. That's that. We went through some things. We're friends now.
That's good.
It is. It's great. It's what I wanted. So I can text him. He can text me. That's fine. That's all I'll say on that. I'm a single hoe. I am a single hoe with a master's degree because I finished my program. My degree is conferred. I'm a single ass hoe with a job.
Let's do it.
And to say, I say all of that and... Do I want to get into that? No, not really.
Do it.
Like, I should be happy. Like, I feel like I should be happy. Like, but lately I'm just in, like, I feel nothing.
Yeah.
And it's not the same numbness I felt in being depressed because it's like, you know, being around people just not feeling anything. Mm-hmm. Now I feel hopeless. That is actually the word for it. I feel hopeless. I have nothing to look forward to. I have no hope for the future. I'm not gonna cry. Yeah, that's kind of where I am right now, trying to navigate that.
I'm listening to it cool. I'm just like, oh God, I don't want anybody to feel the same way that I do. That's why I don't talk to people about things, because I automatically feel like if I start talking about like how sad I am, or like some, or not even like having a reason why you're upset, or having a reason why you don't feel that way, because everyone's like, your life, everyone's like, your life's great. And I'm like, who?
What life? Where?
What am I doing? You know what I mean? And like, I don't wanna, as soon as I start talking about it, I feel like I'm gonna bring somebody down with me.
Would a therapy group help? Would it do anything? Like just like offloading some of that to other people who have felt the way that you have felt?
I don't know.
Is it something you would be willing to try? I think there's something to the fact that all of the hosts of the Inner Hole Uprising suffer from depression.
Are we going to create a therapy group too?
It's just so funny.
No, just like for each other.
Yeah, I mean,
personally, I'm fine with listening to either of you guys. You don't offload onto me very often, but Rob does, and you too can have some of this emotional labor. Because I'm like not going through a depressive bout right now. Like I'm pretty.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty receptive to all of your.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like,
you can offload your
baggage. It's crazy because even when I feel like I'm okay and I'm like, I'm not going through a depressive bout, like, mm-hmm. I'll just have one thought and like everything will just come tumbling down. I'm fragile. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the best way to describe it. Because mm-hmm. I'm like, I feel so secure in my happiness. And then I'm just like, I'll turn or flip over my bed the wrong way. And I'm just like, look at you in your cheap bed. Like, you know, I don't know. And then it's just all tumbling down. But
I don't know if you want this one here, so Sam can cut it out. But have you found a therapist or?
So
do you want me to cut this out?
No.
I just wanted editor Sam.
The reason why that, like, I don't have a problem, I feel like when I'm on this show, it's the one time that I can admit to myself that I'm actually, like, going through things as opposed to like normally in regular life. Like I didn't realize half of these things until I started saying it out loud.
Yeah.
So I don't like the therapy thing. I looked at it for a little bit and I'm not a completionist. That's the one thing that you can say about me. I'm not a completionist. Like I'm still in school. I'm still doing a lot of things and like I'm not a motivator where like I finish everything. So like I'll start and then the tab will still be open and I'll never pick it back up. So mm-hmm. I started doing it and then I just convinced myself that I was okay and I never got around to doing it again. So
that might be a good time to do it though. Yeah. Like when you are okay.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm speaking from.
Yeah. No, you're saying like, yeah.
A place of whatchamacallit.
Yeah.
Because me too.
It's like I'd have to walk into my house and then there'd have to be like a therapist sitting there already, like. So I heard.
I just have to find you one party. That's
exactly.
What you're saying. No, and I just send you the information.
I don't want you to have to do that because I need to like look for things for myself. Like I'm an adult.
Yeah, you are, but like you can use help, honestly.
I don't know how to like accept help from people.
Well, that's when people just start giving it to you. Like, when I was, like, mad fucking depressed after my mom died, Akeem was, like, helping me out with, like, my medical shit because I just wasn't going to do anything.
Yeah.
Like,
at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need a push, especially if you're, like, motivated in other areas and people, like, don't realize, like, the things that you neglect because you are fucking depressed.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, offer people. Like, I mean, that's a bit of advice that I've always wanted to give, like, while someone is going through something or when someone is grieving, like they're not going to reach out to you to ask for help. So like if someone you know has like just had a passing in the family or whatever, like don't be like, oh, what can I do for you? Just do shit. Like just come and start doing shit.
Yeah.
Just walk up to their house, start collecting the mail.
Yeah, just like give people, exactly.
Start picking up the laundry, garbage that they exactly. Clearly will never pick up. Yeah.
Well, that's our lives.
Yes.
Sorry for the answer.
Tell us about your lives. Let's talk about your lives.
Let's talk about your sexual, romantic, and dating lives.
Yeah. Welcome to Fuck You. Yes, the segment where we read your listener letters. If you would like to ask us for some advice, share your hotels or rant against the white cishet patriarchy, please send your thoughts to ihupodcast@gmail.com. I burped, that's why they're laughing, but it got cut out because I spend 5 hours every fucking week editing this show, so pay a bitch. Patreon.com/innerhole uprising.
So this comes from Deshawn Nee. And they write, hey, everyone, this isn't whole mail. I just wanted to email you all and tell you how much I loved the...
I fucking love.
Yes, I just wanted to email you and tell you how much I fucking love the podcast. Literally, if I didn't live all the way in Mississippi, I would so be a part of y'all's friend group. I am 26 and feel like we are the same damn person. I see a little bit of myself in each of you. You guys are all doing so great at not having your shit together one bit, but still literally killing it every step of the way. I love to see women of color fucking rocking it, owning our shit and who we are. Just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing absolutely wonderful. Love y'all. Signed, Deshawnee.
Thank you, Deshawnee.
Thank you very much. You had people it right by people we don't color. Have any of our shit together.
It's people of color. We're not all women. But
yes.
Thank you. Yeah. You wouldn't be a part of our friend group, though, because I don't like anyone. I don't accept any new people.
I don't have friends, guys.
You have friend?
I have friend. Do you have friend?
Thank you. We love the love. Please keep on sending it. Hope things are good with you in Mississippi.
This next one comes from Jeremy. Any tips on how I can get my wife to deep throat or actually give head without quitting? She blames it on her small mouth and gives up. She only can get halfway before she gags. Thanks. I need some good head in my life.
See, the thing about this person actually wrote this to me in some DM, and I was just like, to write into the podcast, please email igpodcast@gmail.com. Like, not even, there's so many ways, like, not my personal DMs, guys. I'm not going to answer you. I'm not going to fucking answer you. So please just put it in the fucking thing. But it's the small mouth part that really... What does that even mean?
So deep throating is not fucking easy. Let's talk about it. It's not for everyone. Yeah. And it's not easy. So if your wife is saying
your small mouth doesn't even have anything to do with deep throating, that's just sucking dick in general. So I don't think she just wants. I don't think she wants to suck your dick. Yeah.
That's what it sounds like I was about to
say. Exactly.
Doesn't sound like she wants to fucking do it. Maybe she's using small mouth as her excuse.
And then also going to us for advice. If she wants to do it, then she's gonna go out for advice. Like, it's not like, oh, well, let me have these hoes offload info. You know?
I was gonna say, I don't know if you've ever listened to this show, but we weren't going to be like, yo, man, you just gotta jam it in there.
You gotta put some peppermint under your tongue.
I think you need to talk to your wife, who you married, and probably ask her about, like, you know, your sexual intimacy and whether or not she's comfortable and how comfortable she is or if she's even capable of doing deep throating.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not easy. Yeah. Some people have a gag reflex that will probably never go away.
I feel like deep throating is so overrated.
It's also kind of uncomfortable sometimes because I can
do
it.
Feel like you're throwing up.
Yeah.
That's the point of a gag reflex. It's there for
and then
a
sometimes
reason.
You do, Sam.
Twice.
In a car.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't, but you're still uncomfortable and your eyes water and you're like, fuck this.
And good head is not predicated on deep throating.
Exactly.
You don't
That's
have to deep
like
throat
yeah.
to give good head. I've given good head to niggas and not shoved their dick through the back. To the back of my throat and I had while I did it like so if you're getting bad head in general, it's because she probably does not want to put your penis in her mouth.
Probably shoving your dick down her throat and she's like
and she's like, I wasn't here for this. I didn't know.
Also, are you giving good head? That's the most important
These are
thing.
Questions to ask. So, are you making her feel sexy when she gives you head?
Or comfortable enough to do so. Massage her throat. Give her a lozenge, some peppermint tea.
There's sprays for that. There's also numbing sprays.
I hate how those things taste.
I don't know. I mean, like, talk.
Yes. talk to your wife about y'all sex life and see what you can do to help her. She will give you the tips when she is good and ready.
I will do the one that I want to do. Okay. Hey hoes, I love the show. I listen every week. Okay, now let's get to the shit. So there's this guy named Lucas, and he is fine. He's Walker Texas Ranger meets Idris Elba.
Which, what does that mean?
Mm.
I don't get that.
He's a white man that looks like Idris Elba?
I don't know, because they're two
different
worlds. Or is
he a black man who
really?
Dresses up like Walker Texas Ranger? Which, I don't know, no, whatever.
Well, anyway, we met about 4 years ago at work, but I was in a committed relationship, so we were just friends. He would flirt here and there at work, but I didn't think much of it. So fast forward, for the past 2 years, he has been knocking my pussy out the frame. We're not dating, just having casual sex, and it's cool. Like I said, I was in a committed relationship, so I never really had a whole phase. One day, Lucas proposed, we started having threesomes. I was down for it. I identify as bisexual, so sure, I wouldn't mind a vagina in my face while taking back shots. So he suggests, I too would not mind a vagina in my face. So he suggests a girl he's already fucked, and I was kind of salty, but I thought, whatever, let's do it. We ended up starting a group chat for me to get to know her and for us to all set it up. So they both live in Dallas and I live in Houston, so it was best for me to come to them. We picked a date, set a hotel, and decided to meet up at Applebee's. On the way there, I was nervous as hell because I didn't know what to expect. Luckily, I had some edibles, the Rice Krispie Treats kind, and ate two to help me relax. Horrible fucking idea. The dinner table, it started to kick in, and I ended up having a fucking seizure. At Applebee's, bitch. They said I face-planted right into the boneless wings, and when Lucas tried to see if I was okay, I fell to the floor and my eyes rolled back. I don't remember any of this, but I know I pissed on myself.
Yikes.
They called the ambulance and I went to the hospital. I was fine medically but embarrassed as hell. The other chick dipped and Lucas stayed the whole time. He took me back to the hotel and I left for home the next morning. I saved myself the hassle and embarrassment and blocked him when I returned home. It's been 2 months. However, his dick was the way of life. My question to you ladies is, should I reach back out to him or just take my L and keep it moving? Thanks.
I think you should reach back
out. I think, yo, and this is funny because I keep referring to that time. This shit is real because, like, if you took 2 Rice Krispie Treats and it was really strong, you probably did end up fucking shaking and doing some crazy shit. I don't know. Just reach out. He stayed with you the whole night.
Yeah.
He was fucking with you, man. Yeah. He could have easily dipped out the same way the woman did.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I'm just an embarrassing person. I do embarrassing shit all the time. So it's just like, whatever. Like
take this fucking seizure, man.
Is it even
an
L? It's not even an L. It's just like, damn, something happened. Like, life happened.
You're human.
For all you knew, you could have just had, like, a medical disorder that just happened to kick in at Applebee's and was just out of your control.
But even if you did get too high, like, niggas just get too high. Like, fuck. Yeah. Whatever. Sometimes niggas be farting during sex. Like, yeah, people just do fucked up shit. It's not like you did anything, like, negative towards him intentionally, like threw a bottle of water at him or something like that. In that case, I would never hit him up again because, yeah, you assaulted that nigga. Remove yourself from his life. But just like life circumstances, whatever.
Girl, we all do some crazy shit, man.
Yeah, or shit just happened.
Yeah, man.
You knew it's it on just, purpose.
You were unblock nervous. That nigga.
Yeah,
and get some good dick back in your life.
That's a steady stream.
Imagine him going to his boys like, yeah, this bitch had a seizure, so I'm not digging her down no more. Sudden sentences never
they
uttered.
Be like, yo, bro, she got a seizure, you hitting that hard. Like, that's exactly what's gonna happen.
Yeah,
or they're gonna be like, wait, hold on, why were you at Applebee's to have a threesome? Nah, hit that chick back up. I mean, you down, he's down.
Yeah,
there's no reason. I just thought it was a great story and thank you for sharing.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, Rebecca really loved that story.
I
sorry
did.
For reading it so late. All right, we have this next story from Let's Keep This Anonymous. I'm a lesbian and all of my friends know this. That's a good way to start anything, I would like to say. My best friend of 6 years recently tried to shoot her shot with me. She hasn't had sex in a long time, and recently she was over for our usual best friend's night of movies and wine. Aww. She texted me the next day saying that alcohol makes her want to have sex too much and she needs to stop drinking. The next message was, quote unquote, if I had one more glass, you wouldn't have been safe. Why are people just so goddamn rapey? Or maybe, I don't know, whatever. I think that phrasing is odd. She has a boyfriend, they're celibate. This is a really weird setup. What? I told her this is not something she wants and she's not ready for that. Basically, she made it known that she's thought about sex and a relationship with me before. I don't know what to do. She's currently not speaking to me. I guess out of awkwardness, maybe. As far as I know, she's 110% straight and never ever been with a woman. What would you do? What? Wait, hold on. There's just like cognitive dissonance. Oh, she hasn't had sex in a long time. Oh,
so
they're celibate.
The best
okay,
friend is in a relationship with a guy and they're celibate.
I get it now.
And the best friend is now not talking to Anonymous because she's embarrassed, I guess.
Well, that makes sense. You know, if you hit on somebody and you aren't
kind of
if it's
not
isn't received well, yeah, it's just like, oh, that's weird. What should you do? What do you want to do?
What would you do? That's what they say.
Oh, what would I do? Yeah, well, it depends on what you would want to do. If I wanted to have sex with my best friend, I still wouldn't.
It doesn't sound
but
like
I would. I would consider the situation more, but if I just didn't want to have sex with her at all, I would be like, I'm not interested in you like that, and that would be the end of it. So there's like many ways that this can go
I think the question, like the way I received it, is that they want to navigate the situation.
Oh, the awkwardness?
But, yeah, but the best friend's no longer talking to them because they feel awkward.
I mean,
so I see.
I would just outreach her and be like, hey.
Well, do you feel, it also depends on how do you feel? Mm-hmm. Do you feel awkward about it?
Mm-hmm. This happened to me before. So
which end were you on?
I was on,
you were on the gay end or the not gay end?
No, I was on the, I mean, I'm just gay either way, no matter what end it is, but I was on the being hit on end. Mm-hmm. On, it was New Year's and it was my best friend. Mm-hmm. And she was like, yo.
Yeah.
Let me just play with your pussy. And I was like, because we were drunk.
Not a bad deal.
And high. And I was like, but I'm not, I love her. And I think she's an attractive person. I'm not attracted to her, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was the weird thing. It was not like, I feel like if it was a different person, I'd have been like with it. But like, I'm not, I see her literally like as my friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was like, I didn't even think about it. So when it was offered to me, I was like, oh, nah. Like,
not good off that.
And we were in the car together and like, she asked me a few times and I was like, nah.
Yeah.
And it was kind of, it was kind of weird because mm-hmm. like we had to drive home together and all that type of stuff. But I think it's just how important is your friendship and how much things can you guys get over as friends?
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's embarrassing. Obviously, you're shooting your shot and
yep.
you're putting yourself out there and like you would expect. And there's also the stigma, like if you're gay, you're just into whoever is offering to you. So that was kind of, I'm sure she's kind of like, well, is it me? Is it, I thought you liked everybody.
Or do you just
want
to experiment?
You know what I mean? So I think it's just important to be like,
mind. I wasn't agreeing with you, but I also do agree with you. I was just trying to say something else.
Oh, I was going to say that I think you should just have a conversation. I communication is always going to be my answer. I don't know if it's because I have an associate's in the communication.
True.
It's just like
the way
talk,
of life. That's
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a very intimidating situation, but if you want that person to be in your life, you can get over it. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's probably just horny, to be honest. Like if she doesn't actually, I don't know the circumstances. Does she want to be celibate? Because it seems like she mm-hmm. wants to have sex. Mm-hmm. Maybe not with her boyfriend. Maybe just in a lesbian type of situation. So maybe that situation is frustrating for her. She thought that you could be an outlet. There's a lot of different factors that, you know, obviously we can't get from a couple of sentences on a piece of paper. But I think it's finding out why her mindset was, has she always been attracted to you? Does she want to keep being friends? All those things matter. So having a conversation about her intentions from when she said it to what she wants to do now. Is she not talking to you because she wants to be in a relationship and now she's frustrated because you don't want the same?
Mm-hmm.
All those things matter. You just have to talk.
Yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, if you never want to talk to her ever again, you are also
absolutely.
In the right for doing that.
For sure.
That's why I was just like, what do you want to do? Yeah. I also really liked what Lily said a couple of weeks ago, the kinky asexual person who was like, because I'm not sure, like, did you want to have sex? I don't know. But when Lily was like, she wanted to start having sex with a partner that she was not having sex with. And the partner was like, wait, let's actually talk about this tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So like if you don't have that kind of relationship, a sexual relationship with someone, and it's not like a one night stand kind of thing, and you are in that person's life, I would definitely suggest to not do it when they're drunk and high and wait a day and see if you are actually like feeling those emotions mm-hmm. the next day, just to like not fuck up the friendship or take advantage of them because they are drunk and high, so you don't really know what they want and they might really not really know what they want. Call Me Coco writes, hey, I really like the show and have listened to all the episodes until now. I was wondering about something. I'm seeing this guy right now and it's been great. We've been seeing each other for 9 months now and he's so great and good to me. We've been going out and sex is the best, but I want more and I just don't know how to say that to him. I've been trying to ask him to be my boyfriend for weeks, but the words never come out and I'm scared he'd say no. So what do I do? Write the words down in a note on your phone and then say them. Even if you are reading them, those are the words that you want to say and don't feel embarrassed about the fact that you're reading them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I'd be doing.
I advise that to a lot of my friends.
Yeah.
To literally like write out, or I will send you a script if you cannot.
Yeah.
I've sent scripts before. Yeah. This is what you finna say, proofread it, and then read it verbatim if you need to.
Yeah.
Hell, text
I also
it.
Agree.
Should we read another one?
But so you should put yourself out there, because you, even if that's not what he wants, then you know where you stand in the relationship. Yeah. Instead of pining and wandering and whatever. Mm-hmm. Say your needs and your intentions outright, mm-hmm. and how he reciprocates is how he reciprocates. You cannot control that. Mm-hmm. Best of luck.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're going to
be stuck. At
least
you can say you tried.
Forever.
That's what's important.
Yeah.
So this comes from Ho, who feels locked out of grad school. They write, hey, everyone. So by the end of May, I'll have finally graduated with my bachelor's degree.
Hey.
Yes. Problem is, I'm stuck past that. I'm studying psychology because I've always had a huge interest in mental health and how the brain works. But it's the end of my time, and I feel as if I have nothing to show for it. I've been applying to get into research projects since my second semester transferring in, but I've had no luck getting in. Directly seeking out my professors has led to either dead ends or dismissal. I haven't had a quality internship. I found a remote one that I thought would cater to my major, but it was just foolishness, so I had to end it. I've tried joining clubs, but working full-time, especially with my course load, my last few semesters made me have to stop participating after a semester and a half. Furthermore, while I did well in school, maybe only one, possibly two professors could vouch for me for a recommendation letter. I know I'm supposed to make myself stand out, but waiting behind a line of students who just want to argue with the professor after class gets tiring. I feel somewhat hopeless. I wanted to do so much in my field, and I feel like I'm letting myself down. I did take nursing prerequisite classes as a second option into getting into mental health nursing. I would be content, but I was really interested in research and practicing as a clinical psychologist. Should I just go that route instead? It's a bit easier than academia, and it would allow for me to work at least. P.S. For background information, I'm in Orlando, Florida. The school's job/internship website is pretty terrible. Indeed has given me something to work with, but I have no experience to get experience. Signed, Ho, who feels locked out of grad school.
I have no.
I'm looking at Akua.
Why have they looked at me?
Because you know school.
Yeah.
The thing is, I'm barely keeping afloat, so therefore, this is your question.
I mean, I could offer like media advice, but I can't offer advice in mental health and also not in.
Well, the thing is, I don't know much about the Florida system, and I don't really have a clear understanding of which way you want to go. It sounds like you want to do research, and if it's either research or mental health, and that was my dividing factor after I got my bachelor's in psychology, was like, I didn't have the GPA to go straight into a doctoral program is what you do for research. And I realized research just was not for me. I did not want to do research. Mm-hmm. So I had to reframe into thinking what I wanted to do, realize it was counseling, and realize that my other options was social work or mental health counseling, which I did. Mm-hmm. If you want to do research, a lot of things that you said kind of dropped the ball, and that may mean taking a year off, taking some time off, and doing shit for free to get that experience and to beef up your curriculum, your CV, to look good for these very competitive doctoral programs. It may just be sitting with your professors or finding one professor, even a college advisor, and saying, hey, you know, if I can work on your research project with you after you graduate for free volunteer work, that may just be what you have to do. I don't know much about the research track just because I knew I hated it. So I went the other way. If research isn't what you want to do and you want to do more mental health, person-to-person counseling, there's also always a master's degree in probably what will be a LPC, a licensed professional counselor in Florida, or social work, which will give you the same experience to do counseling. You have to really reframe and sit down and figure out what you want to do and then be willing to just put in some free time to do it. But I don't want you to feel like you have nothing to show for it. At the end, you have a bachelor's degree.
There you go.
That was 4 years of hard-ass fucking work, and you did it all while working full-time and juggling whatever other roles you have in life as a friend, a sister, a brother, a niece, whatever else roles you have. You did all of that and got that degree. So it's not, just because you're not where you want to be at the end does not mean you cannot get there, and does not mean everything you've done for the past 4 years is in vain. It's just getting real creative, finding other opportunities, finding other ways to navigate the field or present yourself to get to that end game.
You give good advice.
Yeah, I'm sitting here like, shit. That's right, Rebecca. You got that bitch. Yeah. I'm just kidding. Hey.
Hope it works out. Ho who feels locked out of grad school.
All right, so if you guys would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inaho Uprising without the G on Twitter or at Inaho Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook. Go to InahoUprising.com to pay a ho or check out merchandise. You guys can follow me at HeyAkuaGirl, HeyAkuaGirl on Instagram and Twitter. Fuck Snapchat now.
Mm. Hey, fuck Snapchat. You can also follow me, Rodeca, at Rebby or Not for Twitter and Instagram. And then you can also follow me on Tumblr at No Need to Make Believe.
You can follow me at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter. And fuck Snapchat. We don't use that shit no more, B. Bye.
That's it.
Bye. Bye.